Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, founder of Energetic Alchemy and master life coach, Dorothy Donahue.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guests, Carl Vincent and Evgeny Tonka. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, happy anniversary to Life Changes. Happy anniversary, Dorothy and Mark, and to everybody that's part of the Life Changes team and has been part of the Life Changes team, and to all of you who have been with us for a long, long time, actually 9 years since we started. 9 years. Once a week. We've never missed a week. And we're not only proud of that, but we love it so much that we just couldn't and don't want to miss a week. So we have had exactly with this show, actually, this is our 470th show, which how interestingly that on the ninth year, 470 shows, that's master number 11. It's all been so special. It certainly has been a dream come true, and there are so many people that have touched us, so many people that we've gotten to touch, and so many life changes that have happened from a birth actually happening within a month. It was a month and a week, I think, after Life Changes started. And that was one of our very own producers at the time, Mark Skelton, and his wife, Courtney, had a baby boy, Kingston. And as a matter of fact, he was on the show. Well, we went to the hospital for when the baby was born, which was very special. And then he came on the show right after, and we got to talk about it and do the numbers for the baby. So some very special experiences that way. And actually, that was a month after the show started. And now today, just a weekend after, we said goodbye to one of our former or past guests who just passed actually this weekend, and we went to the hospital to say goodbye to her as well. And so many life changes throughout all of this, and some of the greatest life changes have been those that we've experienced ourselves and that we have learned from other guests that they have experienced thanks to what they've heard on the show or what they've learned on the show or being part of the show. And for that matter, so many of our guests who have been a part of our lives and who have either mentioned us in their books or on their shows or who have book titles or inspiration that they've gotten because they were on our show and whatnot. The list can go on and on. And so the show being Life Changes, how appropriate. And probably one of the greatest things that have happened is the relationships that have been built over all these years with ourselves and the learnings that we've had with each other and with so many of our guests and fans. And so we're happy about that. And how appropriate that today, Dorothy Lee Donahue, our very own executive producer and part of the inspiration for this show, a big part of the inspiration for this show, is our guest. And we have had her on the show maybe three or four times, maybe not even that many on her own. And how appropriate that she is our guest today. And also how appropriate that we'll be talking about relationships versus reactionships, which is something that Dorothy always says. And so we'll get to talk to Dorothy about that very important topic. And joining us here on this special day is Carl Vincent on bass and Evgeny Tonka on the cello for our musical segment here on our anniversary show live on the Life Changes show right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo.
You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo Volta, just sitting here with Mark Lejour. And Mark, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Nine years.
9 years.
9 years.
Of course, we started way before that.
Way
but
before
the show.
That. But the show at 9 years.
Like 470
lifetimes.
Many lifetimes.
Yeah, you know, I'm almost at a loss for words. There's so much that can be said, but I'll just say thank you to you for holding down the fort many times, for showing up, Dorothy, for keeping this thing going, especially during the early years and so many life changes that we've all gone through together. So I'm just honored to be here.
Well, thank you is a great way to start, and a big thank you, of course, to you and to Dorothy, and who she's not only held down the fort, she's held the vision, and she's helped us all, so many of us, so many of her clients as well, through her workshops and her one-on-ones and through the radio show and the radio shows that she's had. Actually, she has helped people go from reactionships to relationships, among many other things. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. She's the founder of Energetic Alchemy. She's a transformational leader and the executive producer of our show, The Life Changes Show, and so many more other things. Welcome to your show, Dorothy Lee Donahue.
It is really awesome to be here. It's hard to believe 9 years.
9 years.
They say time flies when you're having fun, and we've been having fun.
We have been. It's also been a lot of work. And interestingly enough, it's the very work that has not only fueled the show, it's fueled so many workshops. Your workshop, of course, was in existence long before, but the recalibration and life improvement and all of that. But so we'll get into more of your workshops. But relationships, we have learned how to relate more and more. So something I say to people is, you know, that sounds like a reactionship, and they'll say, oh, that's brilliant. You should coin that. And I'd say, too late. It's been coined by Dorothy Donahue. Dorothy, what's a reactionship?
It's what most people have with everybody they know. Reactionships are so common. Relationships are uncommon. Relationships would indicate that someone was listening and understanding and hearing one another. And that doesn't happen very often, especially in today's world. People are so distracted because they have their phones with them. They're on them all of the time. They, when they're not on their phone, they're on the internet. When they're not on the internet, they're working. And so they're not really listening.
They're
watching, TV. There's a lot that's going on.
Let's break down, what is a reactionship?
A reactionship is what we have learned from our parents. And it's because they've learned to react to their parents, and it's just the way things are done. Reacting is not listening. Reacting is not hearing. Reacting is being triggered by something that we have experienced. And most of us are in reactionships with ourselves. I was in a reactionship with myself most of my life.
What does that mean, reactionship with ourselves?
Well, in my case, I was running away from this thing called life. It just, human beings fascinated me and then scared me a bit. So I've had 9 near-death experiences, and that would indicate that I was really running hard, but I didn't stop and think after these, what was I really doing? And so I was in reaction to a whole lot of things. I was in reaction to the fact that my mother didn't like me and let me know. I was in reaction that my brothers didn't understand me. I was told that I couldn't be who I really am. And I have had some very special gifts all of my life, and I was told not to talk about what I know, what I see, and what I hear, because people would think I'm crazy. And so I was in reaction to all of the people around me.
That's on one end of the spectrum. But from what I know about you, you were also told you couldn't be a woman, or the woman that you are, or you couldn't just be a human in a sense.
Right.
Or you were supposed to be a certain way because of where you lived and who you were born to, kind of thing.
Right, right. We were the family everybody wanted to be. And so we had to put up a front, and it was a front, because we really weren't the kind of family that I would ever want for anyone. And it's been a wonderful ride. I've figured things out. I've started to understand myself and why I did the things that I did. And it's awesome to just be me and to show up as me wherever I go.
Getting there is probably the hardest journey that people have to go through.
It's not easy until you decide it's easy. And I did decide it was easy, because I got a couple of guidebooks. You know, we get a manual for the toaster, for the fry pan. We get them for everything except for life. And so I ran across a couple of great books. One is You Can Heal Your Life, and the other one is The Life You Were Born to Live. And it helped me understand who I am and why I make the choices that I do. And so it was really great to have that kind of help. And I just really started looking and asking the right questions. I was asking all of the wrong questions for a very long time. And then I began to ask questions. But the way I got to understand and relate to me was by doing the work that I do. And if I had listened to the advice that I was giving other people, I wouldn't have had to go through some years of hell on earth. The universe supports us in really having a great time. And if we pay attention to what we're doing and what we're saying and who we're talking to, what choices we're making, we can have great lives.
In other words, we teach what we most need to learn, kind of thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you say you decided it was easy, but I know from knowing more of your story, it wasn't easy for the longest time. And
for most of my life, it was very, very hard up until 2001. I was in a wheelchair for over 2.5 years in December of 2001. And I actually said, I got to heal myself. And I did. I got out of that wheelchair and flew to South Africa and climbed a mountain. So that was fun when I realized that I am responsible for everything in my life. And when we take responsibility for all of our choices, and we're a choice every moment of every day, and when we make the most elegant choices possible, it is easy. However, we don't always make elegant choices. And God knows I have made every less than elegant choice many times over, but now I'm doing much, much better.
I can attest to that. Well, when we come back, we'll delve more into what a reactionship is, and especially this topic about reacting to ourselves and how we can relate to that, because these are new concepts. And thankfully, Dorothy will be coming out with a book. But even before the book, there's so much that can be learned from Dorothy and her workshops and all of that. You can go to loveandmiracles.org, loveandmiracles.org, and learn more about Dorothy and see when she's doing her next Energetic Alchemy workshop or where she's speaking next. We'll be back with more with Dorothy and relationships versus reactionships. And in a little bit, live music here in the studio with our guests, Carl Vincent and Evgeny Tonka. All in the Life Changes Show after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him, then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Dan Millman, The Green Children, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, who is also our guest today. And I say so many things that Dorothy has said. You know, Dorothy says this or Dorothy says that. One of the things she says is that it is only through consciously loving and forgiving ourselves first that we can begin co-creating miracles in our lives and in the lives of those we love. Dorothy, how do we consciously start loving ourselves?
We have to take a look at what we're doing and if we're taking care of ourselves. So I didn't love myself for a very long time, and I wouldn't feel my feelings. So instead of feeling my feelings, I'd eat way too much, and I had over 150 more pounds of meat than I have now. And so people do all kinds of things, drink too much, eat too much, or eat all of the wrong things. And it's a way of being unconscious. So our emotions try to come up, and we go into fear instead of facing our emotions and saying, "Wow," and telling someone we love, "This hurts when you do this." We just
well, that could be what our body's
quiet.
Saying
That's
too.
What our yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And our bodies are always talking to us. They really are. So you can push everything down for years and years, and that's how dis-ease is formed, and
that's
very
the
unconscious.
Relationship versus reactionship that you're talking
right.
about. So that's reacting to our body instead of relating with it and listening to it and understanding what's going on and do we really need 12 donuts today kind of thing.
Right.
No, I'm not saying you were eating 12 donuts a day.
I'm just
I was like, where are they?
I used to. And the thought of ever doing that again just is not fun.
Oh, okay. So if that's reactionship with ourselves, and we also talked about with other people, what is relating with ourselves and then consequently relating with people? And so the relationship thing, what's that?
What I find really, really interesting is in my workshops, I will say, welcome, welcome, and talk a little bit and then say, how many of you are in a relationship? And only those who are married are dating someone will raise their hands. The rest of them won't. And I go, wow, so what do you call this thing you have with your mother, your father, your sister, your brother? What is that?
Yeah, and, what is that?
And And in most cases, it is a reaction ship. So they're right. They're not in many relationships. It's just reaction ships. So it's very, very interesting when I get that answer. And before I will see someone, or before they come to my class, they have to answer a questionnaire. And one of the most important questions that tells me so much about them is, what was your relationship like with your mother and your father as a child, and what is it like now? And I've done this thousands and thousands of times all over the world. Doesn't matter if it's in South Africa, Germany, here, or India. It just doesn't matter. The answer is, very few felt supported by their parents, or very few said, we had a really good relationship. And it shows. It shows in them. And they're searching for answers, and that's why they come to me. So our parents have taught us how not to relate, for the most part, because they're not relating to one another. And when I just recently had a beautiful young couple come to see me, and they wanted to have a session, and they hadn't filled out the thing. And I said, what is it you want to accomplish? And they had no idea. And they were having trouble with each other because they didn't know anything about the other person's plans for the future. They were not on the same page, much less same book or in the same library. And so I said, here, let's get you to understand one another and learn about one another.
When I first had my first session with you, actually, you had me fill out that form. And I remember saying that I wasn't in a relationship. I do remember that. And you also pulled out this one, which I didn't expect. And you said, are you not in a relationship with yourself?
Right.
And technically, no, not really. Well, I wasn't either. I was in reactionship with myself. But that's another thing, that people don't look at the relationship that they have with themselves or their body, or you take it to this other level. Like, I have a relationship with the UPS man and the bank teller. And you
do. The ladies at the post office love me because I come in and smiling instead of grumbling because I've been in line for 20 minutes. I do my best to relate to people. Didn't always. I was married twice to the same man. I didn't know him at all. Not at all. We did not have a relationship. It was totally a reactionship, and I pushed everything down, which caused me a lot of problems going on after the divorce. I made some really silly choices trying to numb myself out instead of trying to figure myself out. So before we can relate to anyone else, we have to really relate to ourselves. And I know you wrote a book called The Little Dog That Could.
Yes.
And this little dog helped you figure you out.
Yes.
And you had a relationship.
Yeah, we did. We did. And I didn't know what I was doing, but the dog knew how to get me
to
relate.
The dog had a relationship. You had a reaction ship.
And then Dorothy, who I'd just gotten to know, was trying to help me relate throughout the whole book. And if you read the book, you'll see I was saying, no, this is not going to happen the way this dog wants it to happen, the way Dorothy's telling me it should or could, or it would be better if I allow it. No, I said.
That's right.
The joke was on me and the lesson.
Right. But you actually related to this dog, and the dog related to you. And if it changed you. It
yes.
changed you totally.
Yes.
And so I began to relate to myself and ask myself, why did I do this? Why did I do that? Because I was raised by a man who was a victim of his partners, a victim of my mother, just a victim. And so I was steeped in victimhood. And that is total reaction.
And that was your programming.
That was my programming.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was my programming.
Well, speaking of programming, then what about TV and films and the quote-unquote relationships that we see there?
Well,
uh-oh.
I, I watch a little TV. I watch the less violent mysteries where they just, so I can figure out who did it before they tell me who did it. It makes me think. But most of the TV, the sitcoms and everything are just not about happy people. Mm. And I remember watching and laughing before I really figured me out. Mm. Things like Roseanne and Everybody Loves Raymond. And those people didn't like each other. Mm. It was a typical family. And so I think it's taught a lot of people that yelling at one another is the king of queens. Yelling at one another and being disrespectful is normal. And it's not.
And
but it has
funny.
Become. And funny.
Yeah.
And funny. And I tried to watch one the other night, and I just couldn't. It was so hateful, so mean. And so when we watch things like, you can get a lot of good out of TV. Watch the Andy Griffith Show. They had morals. They had really taught us a lot of good things. And if we treated one another with the love and respect that they did, then we would be in relationship.
Mm, I had no idea you were going to go there. But
Andy had a relationship. Barney had a reaction ship.
Yeah. Yes.
There you go.
Thank
That's going to be in the book. I'm sure of it.
It will be now.
Well, so Dorothy, one of the things that I love hearing about you from your clients and those who have attended your workshop is how they felt you related to them. And though you're a spiritual leader and though you see things that most people don't see and connect with things that most people don't connect with, you in this lifetime have said over and over again that you've made so many, if not all, of the less than elegant choices. And you're not ashamed to say that. And so people right away connect with you. They say, oh, she's not one of these people that pretends she's done it all right and knew what she was doing all along. And they relate.
I didn't have a clue. I kept doing the same old thing over and over and over again until it got too painful to do it anymore. Mm. And when I couldn't walk, and what made me decide to heal myself is really funny when I look back on it. I was in this wheelchair, and a good friend of mine took me to the San Diego Zoo. And it has a lot of ups and downs. Mm-hmm. He almost ran me into a wall because there was so much of me in that wheelchair, and he wasn't that big a guy.
Oh, wow.
And so I thought, I have to take care of myself. I got to get out of this wheelchair. And so I found a wonderful book called The Messages from Water, and it taught me that every word I think, every thought, every word, thought, action is all making tomorrow. And so tomorrow is what we believe, think, feel, say, and do today. And so I learned to think. Mm. And most of the time, I do my best to think before I speak. And so I have this little thing hanging on my wall to remind me, think. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? And if we did that before we interacted with people in our lives, it'd be a much better world.
Well, sounds like even to ourselves.
Oh, absolutely.
Should I say that to myself? Think about it first. Or
well, if you keep saying it over and over, you won't have the ability to think the other thoughts anyway.
Okay. All right. I'll take it.
No, think before you think is my new motto.
Think before you think.
Think before you think.
Can you read that again, T-H-I-N-K?
T-H-I-N-K. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind?
Wonderful. Well, when we come back, actually, we'll have a few final words from Dorothy. And actually, not so final, because we haven't heard the last of her yet. There will be a book, and it'll probably have something like relationships and reactionships somewhere in there. As a matter of fact, I know she has the URL already, relationships.com. versus reactionships, or VS reactionships. So when we come back, a couple more words from Dorothy before we then have the Ask Dorothy segment and then our live musical segment with our guests Carl Vincent and Yevgeny Tonka here on the Life Changes Show after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter, at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course, our guest and our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue. You know, Dorothy, this is so unfair because I have learned so much from you over the past 9 years, but actually, we've known each other, what, 10 or 11 or so, or again, lifetimes. That it's hard to squeeze it all into this, and we didn't really get to talk about energetic alchemy very much, but people should go to loveandmiracles.org or energeticalchemy.com. People could follow you. You're good at sending messages out to everybody on your list. They could send you their email. They should connect with you, right? And then they can do that at loveandmiracles.org.
They sure can.
Okay. And then energetic alchemy weekend workshops, you do one-on-ones where you help people, you help them see, remember, co-create.
Think.
What, think? But before we go.
Before they think.
What do you think?
Before they think.
Before they think. Yes. I like that. Think before you think. Dorothy, you always say we are at choice. So let's talk about those in relationship to relationships versus reactionships.
We're always at choice. And there are only two real choices, love or fear. Mm. And anger is a form of fear. And kindness, compassion, understanding, listening is a form of love. Mm. And when we choose love, we are choosing to relate. Hmm. When we choose anger, when we choose reaction, instead of response, we're in a reactionship. And I know that we can have, there are some people in my life that occasionally I still go into reaction to, but I do not stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself going there less and less and less.
You know, that's a really good point, and I'm glad you said that, because change can happen in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
And so we could choose that. And for those of us who can choose it, but it still doesn't seem to happen in an instant, we could celebrate in the fact that, well, we didn't go as deep into anger, or it didn't last as long, or I didn't say insulting words to the person, and kind of watch our progression if we
have shorter instance.
Was that?
Shorter instance?
Yeah, shorter instance. Right. No, it's important.
No, it really is. And just recognizing it and catching yourself. And so I really believe we're always learning and always stretching and getting better and better, except for those who are getting worse and worse. And that's just a choice that they're making because they live from a place of fear. So please let us remember that the only person we can change is ourselves. Mm. That's the only person we can change. Mm. But if we begin to love ourselves and be more loving, then we're putting out a vibration that is the most powerful vibration on this planet. And we can change the world by choosing to relate instead of react.
And you're not saying go ahead and relate to the war going on over there, or relate to those that person over there that you don't agree with. You're saying it starts at home, kind of thing.
It starts inside of me, mm-hmm. and I need to love me, and I need to be loving. And so when I am, and I bless the people who are making less than elegant choices, and I ask that they be blessed and that they wake up. And in my groups, we'll hold hands and we'll talk to the higher selves of the people who run things on this planet and ask them to make more elegant choices. Mm. And the more of us that do that, mm. and a lot of people get together and do that, it's just amazing. Instead of going into reaction, I remember years ago in Paris, instead of going into reaction after a tragedy, over a million people gathered in the streets and sang Imagine. Mm. And they were imagining peace. And the more we do that, then we can create it, because we are creating our reality. So let's create it from a place of love.
Well, thank you, Dorothy. Thank you for helping me and us create the Life Changes Show and the reality that we're having in this very moment. And how perfect that it was you, our guest here on this 9th year anniversary. Truly, like Mark said, thank you.
Well, thank you guys for doing such a great job. And it has been fun. Challenging at times, but a lot of fun.
Well, I'm looking forward to much more fun for us and for all who participate in this fun times that we're having here at Life Changes. So thank you, Dorothy Donahue. And go to loveandmiracles.org or energeticalchemy.com, or just look up Dorothy Lee Donahue on Facebook and follow her. She's on Facebook and Twitter, and she's very active on there. I think she has more followers. She has more followers than I do, actually, at the moment. So not that it's a competition. We love you, Dorothy. Thank you. And so with that, Mark, we have a shout-out and then an Ask Dorothy segment.
We do. We want to give a shout-out to our very own technical director, Brent Hahn, who's been masterful in sound design and directing the Life Changes Show here at StudioNoho.net, Studio-Noho.net, which is the home base for Radioactive Commercials, the business which has been recording, sound designing, and mixing award-winning radio spots and original music for over 10 years. Check them out. Reach out to Brent Hahn at Studio-Noho.net. Dorothy, my name is Jennifer, and I live in Ontario. Recently, my dear friend and roommate passed, and yet even though she was cremated and I went to her funeral, I often feel like she is still here with me. Is it possible that her ghost is visiting me? I am not afraid and just wonder why she will still be here in our place and not home with God.
Jennifer, I'm so sorry for the loss of your dear friend. And yes, it is possible that her soul could be visiting you. The truth is that our souls usually go home to the light upon death, and yet some souls will stick around the ones they love when they feel incomplete. Dead people have visited me ever since I can remember, and usually their messages are all about how much they loved me and that they need my forgiveness. Sometimes they want me to give a message to a loved one. Sometimes they also like being where they were happiest. In some cases, depending on their belief systems, they could stick around because they're afraid to move, thinking that they have sinned, and they have been taught that sinners go straight to hell. Often souls will stay if they feel there is something that you need to know. So she may be wanting to communicate with you. If there was anything wasn't properly addressed when she was alive. When you feel her presence, it would be good to sit quietly and breathe. And once you are consciously breathing, ask to be connected with your higher self. Once connected, you can ask her what she wants to say. There are several ways you can do this. The first way is to ask for permission to connect with her higher self and begin your talk with telling her how much you love her, and then ask out loud why she is visiting you. Then sit quietly, and you may be able to hear her answer clearly. Hearing doesn't mean you will hear her voice outside of your head, yet when she responds, you can hear her thoughts. Every medium I know, including myself and my daughter, tell me that they hear the answers inside their heads. And if this method doesn't work, another thing you can do is some automatic writing. You can do automatic writing on your computer or get a pen and paper if you wish, and you type or write a question. And remember that you're not consulting your thinking mind. You're consulting your higher self and asking to connect with hers. When doing automatic writing, it's important to stop thinking and just write whatever comes through without consciously controlling your thoughts. It is best to just write or type quickly, and you can easily discover what a great tool this is for connecting with not only the deceased, but also with your guides. It's an awesome way to get clarity on situations that perplex you. You can use the internet to find out more about automatic writing, and there are many books on the subject available. Good luck, and please let me know if one of these methods worked for you.
Thank you. And if any of you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
Most excellent. And we'll be right back with our musical guests, Carl Vincent and Yevgeny Tonka, here on the Life Changes Show after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, Dorothy Lee Donahue. And joining us in the studio are two world-renowned musicians, Carl Vincent on double bass, or bass, and Yevgenia Tonka on cello.
Single cello.
I'm sorry?
Single cello.
Single cello, not a double. Yes, single cello. And a comedian. Actually, these two have done so much. Carl, I had to laugh earlier because I've known you now for a few years, and I didn't know this part. I've known about the classical music and the jazz and the group that you have, the several groups that you've had, but I was reading this list and just laughing because I have had the pleasure of being accompanied by Mr. Carl Vincent on double bass, and so have Lou Rawls and Woody Herman and Stevie Wonder and Tony Bennett, Beyonce, Josh Groban, Carrie Underwood, Mary J. Blige, John Legend. I could go on. You're not even cracking a smile. Yeah, you're like, yeah, okay, all right, and okay, I'll just keep going until I get a smile. And he's got credits with Ray Charles, Danny Peck, Fergie, Jennifer Hudson. Are you going to smile for me? Okay, so that is Carl Vinson. And Evgenia Tonka is known as one of today's most talented Russian cellists. It should be just cellists or single cellists. But and he beholds an incredible sound, according to a critic, that isn't anything that and that there isn't anything that he doesn't understand or can't do. He's gone on to perform in concerts and orchestras and as a soloist, rather, all over the world. And we're so glad that he's here. Welcome both Carl Vinson and Evgenia Tonka on The Life Changes Show.
Hey.
Yeah, don't all jump in at once.
Thank you for having us here.
It's a pleasure. And the irony of it is that I think I asked you maybe, Carl, 2.5 years ago if you wanted to be on the show. And Evgenia, I asked maybe a year and a half or so ago. And then, you know, I never heard back from either one of you. And then I asked you, Carl, like just a month or two ago. Yeah. And you said, oh, yeah. No, you never asked me. Sure, I'll come on. I'll bring Evgenia. And I'm like, oh, man, dream. Come true. Yeah, it's on. I never asked you.
No. Most of the time I'm seeing you, you are asking how to pronounce my name.
How did I do, by the way?
You did perfect.
you know, it's funny. You wrote on Facebook today. Right. What'd you write?
Yeah.
What did you write? Do you remember what you wrote?
Oh, yeah. Enjoy my perfect English.
And I thought I almost responded that your English is as perfect as my Russian.
Thank you very much.
Your English is much better than my Russian. Anyway, but all this silliness and funness just goes to show you that bass players and cello players are fun people too.
We're just giving you a look.
They're just looking at me. This is radio, not TV. You're making me work here.
Yeah. We'll discuss the fun stuff in the parking lot after the show.
You know, actually, I know what's happening. You're in character right now. Okay, so what happened was there's a dream within a dream. So you had a dream, literally.
Yeah,
beginning.
I had a dream. I had a dream, and I think it was very funny, and I posted it on a Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought anything will happen after that, but a friend of mine, a producer, Marina Ratina, she called me and she asked me if I'm interested to film it.
Like make and a movie of
like
your dream?
Making moving out of dream. I told her, like, you can do whatever, I'm not going to be a part of it. And
famous last
then,
words.
Long story short, then she found like everything, a location, and then we found a great... director, and then it just happened, and I'm so glad that Carl was a part of it, and he's not just an excellent double bass player, but he's absolutely genius actor.
Well, when I heard about this, it sounded like a Fellini film, like you know, because the films Fellini would say, "Oh, let's try this, or you do this, or put this on, that'll be interesting."
Yeah, it's very funny because it happened in Los Angeles, in Hollywood, and we didn't have anything until the very last moment. We didn't have cameras, we didn't have mics, we didn't have permission, but somehow everything, you know, happened. We didn't have actors and like zero, but somehow we filmed 23 minutes of a movie in one day, and it was mostly like one shot for each scene. So it was my first experience as a main character, as an actor, which I never wanted to be, actually.
Yeah, and you said you weren't going to be part of this. Yeah. Right.
Was there permission before or after the cameras? I'm just kind of curious.
Right? Wait, I missed it.
Me too.
So, Carl, and so why I said you're in characters, because I know you as this really nice guy, but in the movie, you actually just showed up because... He called you.
He called me and asked me, "Hey, if you're not doing it, come by and maybe you can be in one of the scenes or something." And he's a very close friend, and I thought, oh, "I'll help him out." But then, before I, I hung up the phone, he says, well, can you bring your bass? And that made me hesitate. But he is a dear friend, so he qualifies. And so I brought the bass the next day, the next morning, and I showed up not knowing anything. Where I was going, what I was doing, who I was going to be working with. I didn't know anything.
Nobody did.
That's really
crazy.
And
the next thing you know.
Next thing I know, I'm standing here, I'm in a policeman's uniform, and they're telling me, you're on. And I find myself in a scene with Yevgeny, and my role is as a policeman, and he's in my custody. And apparently, I'm mentally and physically abusive to him.
So, what do you mean, apparently? I understand that director thought you were amazing at this.
Well, this is what I'm discovering just by being intuitive and just taking it all in to figure out what I'm supposed to do.
Okay.
And believe me, I would not miss an opportunity to be abusive to a cellist.
You don't have to all the time, man. Every session.
He did smile.
He did smile. He's got a big old smile right now. You know, I should probably say that this is really interesting that we'll talk more about this in the upcoming shows, but this is, for the Life Changes show, Cello Month. We have a cellist every single week this month of April.
So
we just gone and called it. And you are our first, Yevgeny. And it's because of Carl who brought you here. So I don't know what you're talking about being abusive to a cellist. You brought him here. And the two of you have never actually...
You brought me here to abuse.
Yeah. You've actually never worked together as a duo.
Right.
This is awesome. Mm-hmm. But because you're here to do a piece, let's actually just jump right into it. We're going to break it up into two. It's actually the Rossini duo for cello and bass in D, and you're going to play the first movement first, and then we'll hear the other, and we'll talk a little bit in between. So here is Carl Vincent and Yevgeny Tonka performing Rossini's duo for cello and bass in D, the first movement, live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
Thank you.
That's awesome. I loved the smile you two gave each other there at the end. We're like, we did it. Yeah, that was good. that was great.
Awesome.
Carl Vincent and Evgeny Tonka, thank you so much for that. That's beautiful. Just so that we let people know, Dream Dealer is the dream turned into a dream film.
Yeah.
The dream come true. So Dream Dealer. So that's going to be going to the festivals and all that once.
Yeah, we're planning to film a few more short films.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably going to happen this year. Yeah. Next year, I don't know how it's going.
If you need a radio host on it, you know you can always call me.
You're hired.
Yeah.
and then we're planning to send it to the festivals because I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be a great movie.
Well, look for Evgenia and the film and all kinds of things at the website K17, as in K17music.com. And Carl, you're into all kinds of stuff. One of the fun projects you've got going right now is Chaos Project.
Yes.
And people could go to Chaos Project on Facebook.
Chaos Theory.
Is it Chaos Theory?
Chaos Theory.
Oh, that's your project. Yes. And the project is Chaos Theory.
Yes.
And Chaos is K-A-O-S-Z. And tell us why.
Because it's a manifestation of pedantic physiological values through etiological distinctions of accurate and precise conceptualizing.
You said that because I have no idea what you just said.
Oh. Well... Basically, it's the Hungarian spelling because all the other spellings are taken.
Okay, so there's a lead singer on this, right?
Yes, there's vocals. Yeah,
and she is she Hungarian by any chance?
No,
you
she's Hungary, but she's not Hungarian.
Okay, all right. Well, anyway, that's at KAOSZ Theory. On Facebook.
Yes.
And so we could learn more about that. I just have a curious. I've never asked you this. you actually started, I think, on guitar or piano or something, and or violin. You started guitar, violin, right?
Right, right.
But and then you said, no, this, I'm a big, tall guy. This little thing, no. Let me. What's
and
the
it
biggest?
It didn't quite happen that way.
What's the biggest instrument I can?
It didn't quite happen that way. I was 13 at the time, and I had my violins in school, sitting with the orchestra, and it was at the start of the new school year. And I was all excited, you know, to be back in the orchestra again. And the director looks at me and says, Carl, we need a bass player. Mm-hmm. Go over there and pick up a bass over there. We're going to try that. Have you try that now. Mm-hmm. And that's how it all started. It wasn't even my choice.
But it's become your...
Oh, yeah.
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 It definitely is. Yeah. That's definitely awesome. Yeah. Well, actually, we're going to get to hear a little more of it. This is now the second movement, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, here, and by the way, the two of you together, I mean, first of all, it's a beautiful piece, but the two of you together, I mean, there's a thing happening here. This is the first time you've ever performed, like, live on together. Just you've performed in orchestras together.
Yes.
But this is the first time here on the Life Changes Show.
Yes.
How special is that? Well, thank you very much for putting it together. And here are Carl Vincent and
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here are Carl Vincent and Evgeny Tonka live on the Life Changes Show, performing the second movement of Rossini's Duo for Cello and Bass in D. amazing. Carl Vincent and Evgenia Tonka. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a pleasure. And I know you feel it from your instruments, but sitting here in the studio and having that low resonance and beautiful resonance happening is just, I feel it throughout my whole body. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you for making my body move like that. What a
pleasure.
That was your goal.
To make
it
well.
What was it something I said? I mean, just okay. So, well, what seriously, the two of you individually and together, what a beautiful thing. What a pleasure it was to have you here on the Life Changes show doing what you did with us.
Thank you so much.
I look forward to the film and more fun together.
Yes.
And so, with that, a big thank you to Carl Vincent and Evgenia Tonka, and Dream Dealer is the film. K17 as in K17music.com for Evgeny, and Carl at Chaos Theory on Facebook, KAOSZ Theory on Facebook. So with that, a big thank you to them, and a big thank you to Dorothy Donahue for everything and for being such a great guest today. And I should say, on behalf of our executive producer Dorothy Donahue and our producer Mark Legere and myself, Filippo Voltaggio, we want to thank Brent Hahn for making us sound so good, not just today, but for so many years. Thank you, Brent Hahn, here at Studio NoHo.
Thank you, Brent.
Our technical director.
Thank you, Brent.
And on behalf of all of us, we're reminding you that as life changes, as ours surely did tonight, we're here for you, obviously, for the past 9 years and for many, many more. Thank you, and ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.